This episode of the WW Review is sponsored by the Theme Park Brothers. Check out the Theme Park Brothers YouTube videos, which feature Central Florida attractions including Disney World, Universal, Legoland, SeaWorld, and Busch Gardens, and most recently, a complete walkthrough of the Disney Fantasy cruise ship. They are the Theme Park Brothers on YouTube and Facebook, and at Theme Park Boys on Twitter. I also want to take this time to give a shout out to our friend Tamara Spidell. It is not going to be long until Tamara opens up her Etsy shop, which features Disney-inspired floral headbands and character-inspired bows. You want to know the name of the Etsy shop? Well, I'm not telling. You're going to have to listen to further episodes of the WW Review, but just know that I've seen her product, and it is fantastic. Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I am your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by nobody. I'm flying solo today, but I've got guests. And you're well aware that we always have good guests on the show, and I couldn't have a better set of guests than my friends, Michael and Christina Black. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Michael?
Doing great, Chris.
Michael, the best voice in the business. How are you doing?
Doing great, Chris.
All right. So wait a minute. I just said I was flying solo, and then I introduced guests. Is that a double negative? Are we good there? Is that cool?
I was concerned when you said you were here with nobody.
Well, host-wise, that's what I was getting for. So, but I knew I had you guys, too. So, hey, thanks for joining me today. I know we've got a good show today. We've got a variety of topics to talk about. But the main topic, at least the starting topic, is going to be your trip on the Disney Cruise Line. Are you guys had a great time, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it beat every expectation I could have possibly had.
Okay. Did you absorb a lot of information while you were on this Disney Cruise Line? Like you're knowledgeable now about things that involve Disney Cruise Line, Michael? Christina?
I could probably tell you how many steps there were. But no, other than that, no, I doubt it.
So let's just test your knowledge, shall we, of the Disney Cruise Line. Dun, dun, dun. You ready to go? I got some questions for you guys. That's been my excuse for 42 years, right? All right. What colors are the lifeboats on the Disney Cruise Line ships? Are they white, orange, yellow, or red?
Yellow.
They're actually yellow, and they had to get permission to do that.
Oh, good, good, good. I know this. Why is that?
Because they're supposed to be orange, right? They're supposed to be by maritime law or something. They're supposed to be a specific, like, orange, but they got permission to use the Mickey Mouse yellow.
That's exactly right. I don't know if it's orange or if it's a different shade of yellow, but I know they wanted to go with the Mickey Mouse yellow, and they had to receive special permission. That's great insight. I knew that from watching one of the Disney Cruise Line Imagined videos on the Discovery Channel. So, excellent. There's the first one. I couldn't stump you. All right. Disney Cruise Line ships can convert seawater into fresh water for use on board. Is this true or is that false? 50-50.
I'll let you answer this one.
So it's a desalinization, I believe it's called. Can they do that?
True.
Absolutely, it's true. 100% it's true. They can actually do that. They can take seawater and convert it over to fresh water. All right, only one more, I promise. You guys ready? This is an easy one. Okay?
All right.
How fast can the Disney Cruise Line ships travel? And this is... Should we give you some options here? So,
well, I know how fast we were going a lot of times, but we want to know how fast its maximum is?
That's correct. The maximum speed. Is it 10 knots, 18 knots, 24 knots, or 50 knots?
Oh, 24.
We're usually around... I'll go with 24.
24 it is. 24 knots. Now, a knot is really 1.15 miles per hour, so you're really looking at like 27, 28 miles an hour, which sounds relatively slow.
Which we actually looked that up.
until you realize how big that thing is. It's like the size of a city. So, in the water, that's flying for a boat that large. That's pretty impressive. So, thank you for playing along. I was only able to get you on one, but thank you for playing along. No, I didn't get you on any, did I?
I was going to say, which one did we miss?
You aced them all. I'm sorry, you did. You actually improved on one, too.
One was just guessed, so I guess maybe that's what you might have thought.
I hoped you missed one. Went 3 for 3. All right, take me on your trip, would you? I've been on two cruises in my life. They're both Carnival cruises. Everyone says, I'm sorry, but we actually had a pretty good time. We aspire to take a Disney cruise someday. We have not. So let me travel vicariously through you guys, okay?
Sounds good.
Give me the full run-up. Who'd you go on? Oh, I'm sorry. What boat you go on? Who'd you go with? What was the dates?
We went October, 21st through the 28th. Okay. So it was a 7-night cruise on the Disney Fantasy.
With who?
Oh, we had, of course, the boys, and then we went with my parents, my mom and dad.
Okay. Do they call them, for the sake of the conversation, is it Grandma and Grandpa, or do they have different names?
Nana and Papa Carl.
Nana and Papa Carl, okay.
Yep.
And you took Michael with you because you were kind?
We kind of had to bring him along.
She was obligated.
Someone had to carry the luggage, right?
Contractually obligated.
Okay. Excellent. So you guys went to Port Canaveral. You guys left from the Orlando, quote, harbor. Is that right?
Yeah, we left from Port Canaveral, yeah. Okay. Our home base here.
Okay. So give me all the details. Did you go on the day of, the day before? How'd you get on the boat?
We stayed at the, what was it called, the Four Points by Sheraton the night before.
Okay.
The one that has, like, the Ron John and...
Yeah, it's connected to... it's got its own shop, but then across the street's the Ron John surf shop. So, and it's got a Starbucks inside of it. You may have seen it. It's right beside it. And we've always wanted to stay there.
Yeah, it was nice.
Okay, so let me ask you that. So you're local. Why did you guys decide to stay in, you know, is that Cocoa Beach officially right there?
Yes.
Why did you guys decide to stay there when you're only 45 minutes from home?
Well, it's about an hour and 13 minutes.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
We have this argument, like, all the time. But we were anxious. We wanted to start the vacation a little earlier.
Okay.
And my parents were already here. They were already staying at Coco. So we wanted to get there.
And on top of that, we had to have some place to park the van.
Yes.
And they have a parking garage, and they have a thing where you can, if you stay there, you can park your vehicle there, and then they shuttle you over to the port, and then when you get back, they shuttle you back, and your car is safe in the garage for the week. So we chose that hotel because we thought that was a great option there. Yeah.
Is the parking free at that point then, or is there a small fee for that?
It's very small.
Yeah, it's kind of connected into their price.
Okay. Well, that is a good deal then, because when we went, we rented a car. We stayed for, I don't know, 9-10 days in Florida, and it was expensive. At the end of our 7-day cruise, I mean, it was well over $100 for the fee. So if you could stay the night and it's only a few bucks more per night to keep the car there, that makes sense. Okay, I'm with you so far. So you're at Cocoa Beach. And this is your first Disney cruise, right?
Yes.
Okay.
First cruise ever.
I was going to say.
First any cruise, yeah.
Were you concerned before you took the cruise? Were you concerned about seasickness? Were you concerned about, was Michael concerned the boat was going to go too fast and become a thrill ride? What were you concerned about?
I'm I was concerned. We had actually booked a Disneyland vacation before this.
Okay.
And after talking to my mom and dad, we changed it to the Disney cruise. They're avid cruisers, so they kind of talked us into it a little bit. And then letting the boys kind of decide overall which one they would rather do, we went with the cruise. But I think we were kind of concerned, but I think just anxious more than anything.
And any fear of seasickness or anything along those lines?
Yeah, I think we all were kind of afraid that it was going to happen.
Okay.
I wasn't so much afraid of seasickness. I was afraid of claustrophobia. I get very claustrophobic. So I was afraid if I was on this boat and I couldn't see land, if I would feel like an issue. You know, I know that sounds strange because you can go out on a deck, you know, anywhere and you're out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of thought it would be like claustrophobia, to where there was nothing I could do until we got to the next port.
You know, so that's not such a crazy idea. And I had that same fear myself. I'm not claustrophobic. But when you think about it ahead of time, it's like, I know they have lifeboats and they have the lifeboat drill, and I know these things never sink. But literally, you're a passenger and you have no recourse. I mean, you're literally out there. You have no decision to make. It sounds like that's like a small detail. But if you do have a phobia, it does play into your mind. I can see that. Plus, you shouldn't watch Poseidon Adventure any time before you go on this ship. That's just my personal advice. So, have you seen...
Or Titanic. We weren't allowed to watch that. And wouldn't you know that I was craving watching that so bad for like a month or two before the cruise?
Have you seen the Discovery Channel special on Rogue Waves, Michael? By any chance?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Well, then I'm going to save you the fear and the absolute terror that you would have experienced had you have seen that Discovery Channel special. However, that's what YouTube's for. YouTube, the word Rogue Wave Discovery Channel special. And, like, the sheer terror that you would have experienced walking on that gangplank onto the boat. Because there are boats that have sunk from Rogue Waves. So, not a Disney cruise line, and certainly not in the Caribbean. But, okay, I'm sorry. Sidetracked. Terrible of me. What did you think when you saw the boat from a distance?
Well, actually, we've seen the boat about a million times because we go to the port a lot, and we like to watch the ships go out. We're just never on them. So that part was relatively normal, but the boys, like Cameron, kept saying, I can't believe we're going to get on that. Like,
awesome.
We're going to be on that boat.
It was just the realization of we're actually going to get on it this time.
Awesome, right? I've seen your videos when you're eating at, hang on, is it Fish Lips?
Yeah.
You guys eat at Fish Lips and you look at the boat. So I've watched the videos. But yeah, that day, knowing that's your cruise, it's like, oh, wow. It just steps it up to a different spot. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you've got the shuttle. You board the boat. Give me your first thoughts here. Tell me what you're thinking.
When we board, Michael cried.
So did you.
Okay.
I think we all kind of did.
I think it was just a combination. I tried to explain it to somebody. It's a combination of, number one, we're Disney fanatics, and this was a Disney first. And we don't have very many Disney first, Disneyland being the other, and this was one. So that, first of all, but then also on that note, it's hard to impress our boys.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard at this point to get them excited about anything because they're going to the park so much and they're, you know.
Yeah, that's just their normal life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So to see them so crazy excited. I mean, Jordan, who never shows any emotion hardly at all, was just jumping up and down. I mean, he just could not believe this was happening. So all that together, yeah, I think it got us.
Yeah, it was very emotional.
You know what? You're right. And in the videos, now that you say that, I could recall Jordan many times dancing or being more animated than I've seen him be before. So, yeah, he must have really been caught up in the spirit of it.
He was,
yeah.
For sure.
Excellent. All right. So where was your room? What kind of rooms did you guys have?
We initially booked an inside stateroom.
Okay.
With being a Florida resident, we actually got a discount, and they bumped us up to a veranda.
Okay.
So it was kind of a big jump there.
Our good friend Laura took care of that for us, by the way.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And she was just excited as we were. But
fabulous.
So we were on deck 10, which was right underneath the cabanas. Very, very convenient.
Yeah, which is the buffet cabanas is.
And Christina, your mom and dad, were they across the... Where were they in relation to you guys?
They were on deck 5.
Okay, so you guys vacationed on the same boat, but you guys were nowhere near each other.
No, they had right above Dumbo was their room.
Yeah, if you look at the ship and you look at Dumbo, they're right there.
They're right above it.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So when you guys got the, you guys had like the balcony view, is that what you said? You guys had a balcony on the ocean?
Yes.
Okay. So any concerns at all? Because, you know, Cameron's 4, right? 4 and a half now at this point?
He's 5. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Any concern at all about that?
I was really concerned, but when we got into the room and I realized all of the security measures that they took, you know, it kind of eased me immediately.
Okay.
Yeah, I think some of the things that we saw, number one, the door, Jordan had a hard time opening. And I'm not saying that it was hard for us, but it was difficult as far as just the door. But they had a safety lock on the very top right of the door.
Uh-huh.
So there's really no way. And that was hard.
Yeah, I couldn't.
To get. And I'm not, I don't want it to come off like they're making it difficult to get out of the room. But they made it childproof,
yes.
You know, childproof, basically.
Good.
And that put us at ease because we knew as long as that was locked, we were in good shape. Another thing that I liked about the veranda itself was that on a lot of ships I've seen, it's just a clear plexiglass railing that you can see through. And I can understand that that's probably for, I don't know, the way that the looks or the view. But I like the fact that this ship actually has
visible railing
with the plexiglass.
Okay.
And I like that just for peace of mind that, you know, if a kid's leaning against a railing, I feel a little safer, even though I still get bent out of shape, than a piece of plexiglass.
Yeah. So that makes complete sense. So I have to admit, that was something in my mind when I book a cruise, is that I've got a 5-year-old and she's a Spitfire, and that is on my mind before I book inside or outside, though, you know, obviously that could happen in any place on the boat when they're outside, you know, eating lunch and whatnot. But it just, it's in my mind, so it's good to know it placated your fears, so that's excellent. Tell me about the food, and tell me, what were the dining options on the boat?
We had 3 sit-down that we rotated, Royal Court, Enchanted Garden. And Animator's Palette.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the quick service, I guess, if you will, is the cabanas.
Okay. Is that? Yeah. Did you guys take advantage of all the options? Or I know there's like an exclusive one too. I'm sorry, the name escapes me. I think it's Palo or Palto. Is that right?
Palo and Remy. Those are the exclusive, I guess, the extra charge. We did not take advantage of those.
Okay. Okay, so did you do most of your dining at the sit-down restaurants, or were you obligated to do that, or could you go anywhere that you wanted at any given day, or did you have to follow a rotational cycle?
You have a rotational cycle. It's on your key card, even, to where it tells you which. You can either have early dining, which was, 5:45,
mm-hmm.
or you could have late dining, which I think was 8:15 or...
I think it was 8:15.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Because they cycle the shows twice a night, too.
Okay.
So while one's dining, one group is watching shows and vice versa. And you are assigned a restaurant and you're assigned a table. And that table stays the same no matter which restaurant you're in. for the night. And the great thing is, too, that your servers go with you. So our server we met day one in Enchanted Garden went with us every night. And they knew what we wanted to drink, knew what we liked. Cameron had an apple juice waiting with his name on it every day.
Allergy.
Her nut allergy, they knew all about. And basically, they became part of your family for that week. And that's great because we found out we went to a lunch, which you could, during the day for lunches and breakfast, you could also go to certain sit-down restaurants if you wanted. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't extra. You could just go sit and have a meal. Well, we found out when we went the one day, now we had great service, but it was like, well, why don't they know what we want to drink?
It wasn't our regular people.
And then you just rotate based on your restaurant. I believe the menu basically is the same no matter where you're at, but okay. The ambiance and the show, so to speak, to use Disney terms, is different.
Which one was your favorites, guys?
We all had different favorites. I'll let Christina tell you her favorite and why, and then I'll...
As far as ambiance, I enjoyed Royal Court. It was very princessy. Michael liked...
I liked Enchanted Garden. I liked where our table was. That has a lot to do with how I enjoy it. And I just liked the lighting.
We had like a booth on that one, so it was really nice to keep Cameron in a booth, and it was kind of comfy, so that was still nice.
Did you always eat as four, or did you eat as six?
Six.
Okay.
Yeah, and the boys liked Animator's Palette. I know Jordan said that he did. That was his favorite. The problem I had with Animator's Palette was that the ship was a little unsteady.
Rocking.
And when you were in Animator's Palette, it seemed like you could feel it a little more than the other two. So I don't know why that was the case, but it just was. And there were a few times when we were eating there that kind of got me. So
what about the buffet? Did you try the buffet?
Yes.
Okay.
Just about every day for breakfast or lunch.
Okay. Or both.
Is the food quality that's very similar on the buffet, or there is a big difference between the two?
In our experience, and I guess...
The buffet and the dining?
The buffet and, like, the sit-down dining.
And there's a huge difference.
Okay.
The sit-down dining was spectacular. Every night was just unbelievable. And even the day we went in and had a meal for lunch, it was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, and this may not be to the listeners who are listening, they may not have had the same experience as we did. Christina had seen on the Facebook groups that there were some complaints about the buffet that on the particular cruise we went on. It just was not the greatest. I mean,
it was just okay. It was still good food, but it didn't change much. It was the same food like every single day.
Hmm. Yeah, it was basically the same thing always. They would switch something up every once in a while. But we were expecting something like a day with maybe like taco day, or maybe a day with, you know, just different types, different options.
Okay, so they genuinely try to push you to their sit-down restaurant. And in my mind, then the buffet would genuinely be people that are really picky or just, you know, just weren't comfortable with the sit-down restaurant. So... Okay.
Yeah, and some other things as far as our experience with the food was that there were places that were open most of the time, and they were open pretty late to get pizza, burgers, brats, hot dogs, french fries, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of like little, you know, kiosk little areas on the ship. And that was basically your only option after a certain point in the night.
After about 8 o'clock, that was your only option.
And even then, we thought the buffet stayed open until 8:30 because it says it does. But what we found out was that Cabana's, the area that has the buffet, turns into an actual optional sit-down restaurant where you're served based on ordering up until 8:30. So there were times when we'd go up after we had had dinner and maybe caught a show or something. We're like, oh, let's go grab something else. Well, our only option was the hamburgers, pizza, and brats.
Interesting.
And I know me and Jordan, the cruise was all about eating, all about food. Like that's what we were going to win our money back on the food. And I think that when it comes down to it, Jordan would agree that the sit-down dining was great, but we were a little disappointed with the buffet.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you know what? I haven't been on it. I would expect it to be spectacular, and I'm a little surprised, I guess. Not disappointed, but a little surprised. But I do know their, and this is the wrong word, their shtick is their sit-down dining. And I do know that their paid sit-down dining options are supposed to be world-class as well, too. So, tell me, Michael, about the amenities of the boat, and Christina, please. Tell me about the things to do on the boat, because we can get to the ports later on, but you know what? I don't want to spoil the ports for people, because I know people have a certain vision in their mind of what the Caribbean is, and you know, I'll let you guys talk about what the Caribbean really is in real life, but for now, tell me, keep me on the boat. What's there to do on this boat?
Well, I guess the first thing I would talk about is aqueduct.
Okay.
Because that's the big thing you see when you go up on deck 11.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan rode it like 4 or 5 times. He loved it. It doesn't show that he loved it in our YouTube video. He's like talking about how it splashes in your face. Now, if you are the person riding in the back, it's probably more enjoyable. It does splash you in the face, you know, a lot if you're the person in the front. I know from experience. But the splash stuff for the kids, very enjoyable. The pools are kind of on the smaller side, but we're not huge pool people. But
they tend to split the pools.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a couple pools for the adults that are adult only. They've got the Mickey-shaped pool on the deck there, and then another pool as well on the main deck, but they're very small. I mean, honestly, one of them's like the size of our pool at home.
Yeah.
And then they had one, I believe, in the teen area. They had a little pool, and mm-hmm. so they tend to – it's almost like they separate people in the pools.
They never seemed, like, incredibly crowded, though.
No, none of them seemed really crowded at all. You know, I just think that as far as that went, they did spread it out,
yeah.
Which is better than one giant, like,
yeah.
crazy pool. Plus, I mean, it's a boat. How much water can you put on a boat?
That's so true.
You know, I mean, I'm sure there's limits on how much you can have in there, gallon-wise.
Is it freshwater or saltwater, the pools?
Fresh.
Yeah, they're fresh.
Okay. No, I asked that because on the Carnival boat, it's a saltwater pool.
Oh.
All the pools are saltwater pools.
Yes. I'm assuming they're fresh. I didn't go in one.
Yeah, I went in with Cameron.
Oh, I never put on my trunks once.
Wait a minute. Hang on. So you didn't go on this fabulous water coaster once, Michael?
He did not.
I do not like water very much. I don't like beaches. I don't like any of that stuff. I stayed in my regular clothes.
He stayed on the boat.
I stayed on the boat most of the time and
okay.
not in water areas. So.
Okay. Did you at least enjoy the vacation? Did your shirt at least come off at least once to soak up some rays? Christina, was he a big hairy beast on the deck at least once? No?
No, my shirt only came off when I took a shower, my friend.
Oh, man. Okay. Christina, you went in the pool, though, and you went on the water coaster?
Yes.
Awesome. If there was the – well, I know Michael's answer. I'm not even going to ask him, but I'm going to ask you, Christina. So if you ever went on the Disney Cruise Line again and you were on the Aqua Dunk, not the Aqua Duck, but the Aqua Dunk, would you go on that one?
Probably not. That's not my kind of thing.
Okay.
That's a little scarier for me.
And if you're listening, the Aqua Duck is a tube ride. Essentially, it's a clear tube, correct? And it goes around – you said it was the 11th? Is that where it's at? Is the 11th?
Well, that one goes up to like the 13th. It's at the very top.
Yeah.
Okay, so this goes in a tube. It's all around, and you're in essentially a raft. But the Aqua Dunk is where the floor drops out, and you shoot down
a couple stories, and then you swing around into a regular water slide, but it's a floor-dropping water coaster, so water slide. So I just didn't know if you were up to that. Michael, I won't even ask you, so don't worry.
Yeah, it's not happening.
You're good. You're good. Okay, so besides the water rides, what else can you do on the boat?
Well, and we'll get into my area now, away from the water, but there is a putt-putt golf course on top, which is pretty neat. And it was, when we went up to do it, was rarely crowded, which was nice. That was kind of a fear. I was like, they have these ping pong tables. They have these, you know, golf courses and basketball court, but would we be able to use any of them? Uh-huh. And we did. We were able to play a round of putt-putt golf, no problem. They had to have a basketball court.
Hang on. Who won?
The golf?
I think I did.
Or Cameron.
Or Cameron. Cameron got a hole-in-one, which in my video, you'll check a typo. I put hole-in-one, W-H-O-L-E. And Christina, she always tries to, like...
I mess with them.
She messes with me, and she'll be like, you spelled that wrong. And I always try to spell check things, because I don't want somebody looking at the video and going, you idiot, you spelled something wrong.
He actually spelled something wrong this time.
But that time she's like, you put W-H-O-L-E, and I was like, oh, for crying out loud.
And spell check came back clean, right?
Well, yeah, I looked through, I'm like, no, it's fine, hole. Anyway... But
and there's the kids' areas.
Yeah, there's the kids' areas, the Oceaneer Club and the Oceaneer Lab.
I saw the kids' areas on the videos, and the boys were having a lot of fun. I saw that. Christina was doing the camera for that one. I saw the boys playing there. That looked fabulous. I think that's my impression watching your videos is there's going to be space for your family to do things because there's so many different activities. Which is exactly contrary to like what the carnival cruise was. There's only like a few select things. So that pool, it is like, it's like a zombie apocalypse. There's like more kids packed into the pool than there is water. So, I mean, is that an accurate statement? There's just so much to do on that boat?
Oh, yeah. We haven't even gotten to the lounges, the clubs, the theater. You know, the theater. There's also an actual movie theater that shows... first run movies. It was like Guardians of the Galaxy 2. They were showing still Beauty and the Beast, the live action, different things like that. A preview for the new Thor movie, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce. I know you've got it though, Chris. Go ahead and pronounce it.
Come on, it's Ragnarok.
There you go.
Right.
And
let's see what the kids things though. The Oceaneers Lab and the Oceaneers Club. There were only certain times where adults were allowed to go in with their kids.
Okay.
So they had like these thing called open houses, and it was usually when we were docked somewhere, right?
Yeah, usually when we were at port. Yeah.
Other than that, it's kids only?
Yes.
Okay.
Adults are not allowed to go in.
Right. You check them in. They have a wristband, and it's basically a magic band. Mm-hmm. And they tap the little magic band thing. They know they're in. And then if they want to leave, then they contact you. They will send you a message and let you know, hey, Cameron wants to be picked up. And then you can come pick him up. Now, our boys didn't want anything to do with going by themselves. Okay. So we
waited for the open houses.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a good option for those parents who have that reservation at Remy or Palo. Or just want some free time or maybe a nap when the kids just are still going.
Sure.
You know, the kids can go play for a bit and the adults can relax. So
usually the kids clubs, now I'm not even going to speak for Disney because I know it's going to be really well monitored, but even the one on the carnival boat, which is nowhere near a Disney cruise line, they were very organized, very structured. And when my twins decided to go, I mean, they were there for several hours. It was no problem. So if you're a parent and you're concerned, whether your kid wants to go or not, that's a different story. But if you're concerned they're going to watch your kid for you, I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not even a question. It's 10,000%. The answer is yes. I guarantee they're safe. So.
Yeah, and we talked about next time we're going to try to urge Cameron to kind of, you know, he's the more outgoing one, and I think we could probably convince him. to go in there and play for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and Jordan, he can explore the ship on his own. He's old enough now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. Well, do this for me. So I want to take you off the boat just briefly. And where were the stops? What were the islands?
We went to Cozumel, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce. I can't remember.
They say like Falmouth.
Falmouth?
It looks like Falmouth, but that can't be right.
I'm not sure.
That's me off the air, by the way. Okay.
Yeah.
Castaway and Grand Cayman.
Okay. So now Castaway, I want to talk about. The three islands you visited. So I want you to give me your impression of the islands in general as opposed to individually. What could you tell me about the islands the cruise ship stopped at?
Well, first of all, we were supposed to go to an eastern, the Eastern Caribbean. But because of all of the hurricanes, we were rerouted to the western. So it was kind of like, okay, well, we've got to figure out what, you know, if we want to get off the boat. Our first stop was Cozumel, Mexico. And we'll just say, stay on the boat.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of hard to wrap them up as one. We're going to have to go into individual because they were so different.
Okay, okay, good. So Cozumel, Mexico, you pass, right? Stay on the boat.
Stay on the boat.
Okay.
The people were way aggressive. I don't like that. I don't like people saying, come into our shop, come into our shop, do this. Hey, what are you doing? Come over here. That's not my...
It's a bit scary for us, I think.
Yeah, it's not my style. And also, it was all jewelry stores. So I don't, you know, it's like jewelry. And, you know, we're not cruisers, so I didn't know what that was about. So we asked, you know, Christina's parents, and they were talking about how the jewelry is so much cheaper. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's a lot of stores. But they were way too aggressive for us. And there didn't seem to be much for us to look at. So
what was next then? Was it Jamaica?
Grand Cayman.
Grand Cayman was beautiful.
Okay.
I spent more time off the boat than Michael did.
It was more like going out. It was... I don't know. It was more like you went outside the gate almost immediately,
mm-hmm.
and you were in the town.
Yeah.
So it would be like in Chicago there. You're going out, and all of a sudden, you're just walking in downtown Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no buffer. There's no away from the – like, you're there.
You're in.
You know, which is appealing, you know, because you're getting to see how – you're seeing the cars driving on the other side of the road. You're seeing the locals and – but to me, with the boys, it was just a bit much after a bit.
Okay.
So we were just like, there's really not much for us here, and we love the boat. So we went back. And it was also a tender port, so we had to take a tender boat off of – we didn't dock. So,
which scared the bejesus out of me.
That was pretty crazy because when we went to get on the tender boat, the boat was a rocket, the tender boat was. And when we went across the gangway there, the little plank, it was like, woo, back and forth. But once we got on, it was fine.
Yeah.
But initially, I was like, holy cow. but yeah, it was, and you've got to understand, Chris, you're talking about me.
Yeah, I was thinking, so it was moving like 4 inches to the left or right.
Yeah, anybody out there listening is like, what is this guy talking about? We were worried about it going in, but I think we would have no problem doing it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Jamaica was unbelievable.
It was beautiful. Now, my mom was scared because she said that she's been to, Ocho Rios? Part of Jamaica, and she did not like that at all. So she was not going to get off the boat initially, but we kind of talked her into it, and she's so glad that she did because she stayed out with my dad the entire time.
Well, you know, I'm glad you had these things to say because my experience on every island, literally every island I've ever boarded at, has been nothing but, I would say, mediocre at best to really negative. And on, like, each of the islands, I would have said, just stay on the boat. So I'm glad you had positive experiences on some of the islands. Have you guys ever visited Nassau in Bahamas?
No. This is our first one, okay. So we've never been there.
Of course, you said it was your first cruise. Of course, pay attention, Chris. Literally, Nassau at the Bahamas, it's like the movie Escape from New York. They literally send you off the boat through this gated area into the city, and as soon as you get into the city, it's like vipers and like people trying to swindle you. It was like I felt like I immediately got transported into this awkward, bedazzled this weird colony. We couldn't stay more than maybe an hour, and it was like, that's enough. You know, I'm good. I don't need to see any more. And that's where Atlantis is at, but that's the town, you know. So, okay.
And I'll tell you, Jamaica. The cool thing about Jamaica, and I've never had seen this at the port we were at, was that the ship pulls up and basically becomes, it looks like a hotel on the port, like, and then another ship pulled in on the other side. It was a Royal Caribbean, and so all of a sudden we've got two ships. The port basically is in the middle,
like,
with all the shops, and it's like a little town, but our balcony overlooked the town. Mm-hmm. While we were there, it was the neatest thing I had ever seen. It made us feel safe and comfortable.
So nice.
If they could all be that way, yeah. Or Castaway Key, but that's a different story altogether. you know, because Castaway Key is just an island of Disney cast members. What are you going to do there? I mean, geez.
Yeah, exactly.
That's perfection. So.
Well, and you realize these port towns, this is how they derive their income, is your tourist dollars. And so you can tell who gets it and who knows that and how to ingratiate themselves to tourists and who doesn't get it, you know? And just the thought is what they're hoping on. Ooh, the thought of Cozumel or the thought of Nassau. But the reality is so far different than the actual truth, you know, what you make it up to be. So, all right, so you're on Castaway Key now, which is, I think, the highlight of most Disney Cruise Line trips. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, yes and no.
Uh-oh.
I mean,
tell me why.
Don't get me wrong. I loved it. Michael stayed on the boat. stayed on the boat. My parents and I, with the boys, we went out, it is gorgeous, and the food.
Time out, Christina. Hang on. Time out. Wait a minute. You got to Castaway Key, Michael, and you stayed on the boat?
Well, how are we going to get a tour of the ship with everybody off of it if one of us doesn't stay on?
He was like the only person on the boat.
Yeah,
you were the only person on the boat.
It was incredible, and I don't like sand. You could buy me a beach house.
If you are a beach person, it's amazing.
Yeah, but you could buy me a beach house, and I would literally try to make it to where there was a sidewalk straight up to my house, and then I would rarely touch the sand, because sand gets in everything. It's like glitter.
Okay.
It gets in everything, and then you can't get rid of it.
Okay, just completely unrelated, Michael. I like to give a plug. What is your Twitter account, just so I know right now? What's your Twitter account?
Hey, to all those people who have a problem with it, that's one less person on the beach. That's all I have to say.
No, I'm sincere. Your Twitter account plays into your story right now. What is it actually at? What is your Twitter handle?
Oh, at Grumpy23?
Grumpy23, all right.
But I'm not really grumpy, though. It's just something I don't like.
We're not beach people, which is kind of funny where we live in Florida, but we aren't. We're not. Cameron loves the beach.
Okay.
So just watching them and watching Jordan snorkel and stuff, it was a treat. It was good. And the food there that they have, the barbecue food, oh, so amazing.
Okay, so you're on Castaway Key, and it's you, Grandma and Grandpa, Nana and, right, Jordan.
Nana and Papa. Yep.
Jordan and Cameron. And yep. From the video, it looks like you're having fish swim right up to you guys. And
yes.
It looks like Nana's scuba diving. Is that correct? Or snorkeling?
Snorkeling, yeah.
Snorkeling. I saw that. I couldn't help but laugh watching the snorkeling. That was adorable. And then tell me, what is there to do on the island?
Honestly, pretty much it. A lot of snorkeling.
Okay.
A lot of playing in the water. Mm-hmm. There's slides, like, out in the water. But we didn't We didn't go out and enjoy that. Cameron's too little, and he doesn't know how to swim. I don't know how to swim. So we looked at the shops and ate a lot of food.
They have, like, stingray adventures, and yes, they have boat tours that you could take. Like, I saw a lot of boats going out and some parasailing and things like that. Seems like they have a lot to do if that's your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it did look like a lot of fun out there. They have adults-only beaches so that, you know, there's not kids splashing around chasing fish. You know, and then they had some music. Some of the musicians that were on the boat, I think, came out and played some music for people out there.
And the characters.
Yeah, the characters are out there and everything. So it did look like a lot of fun out on the island itself.
Yeah.
I think that island, in my mind, probably closely resembles what I think the Caribbean is, but it's not like the reality, but like clean and like nice paths, nice sand everywhere, perfect picturesque palm trees. It's like reality is so far different. But that island is, in fact, what most people think of the Caribbean. Is it, would that be probably fairly true?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and I will tell you what I found impressive was we were lucky enough to be docked kind of on the side where everybody got off the ship. And I found it fascinating to see once we docked, all of a sudden they put out the ramp and everything, and there are forklifts, power jacks, taking off the food, taking off everything from the ship to get the island stocked for everybody.
Mm.
And this process was so well choreographed. It was like the dance of the forklifts. It was beautiful to watch. And I know that sounds weird. I won't even go out on the island, but I thought the logistics part of it was fascinating.
It's in your video, and we commented the same thing, is that when you were taking video of the island from above, when the kids, just before the kids got off, it was an organized army of, it was a team approach of getting things restocked. I commented the same thing when I watched the video.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And just so everybody knows, that was one of the better days for Dad, too, because I sometimes need to recharge. I'm an introvert, so I need to recharge. And when everybody's off the boat, it gives me a chance just to walk around and you know. And then when everybody comes back on, I'm not grumpy anymore. So
Christina, you know. I just wanted to summarize that your husband just said when you and the kids were away on the island is when he enjoyed the cruise the most. I just want to make that clear.
I got that one, too.
Well, them and the 3,000 other people. Let's not forget that.
Okay. So take me back to the port now. So now you guys are going back to the port. And how was the disembarkation? How was the leaving of the boat? It's probably not even the right word. It just seemed very nautical. When you actually had to leave the boat, what was that process like?
That was sad.
were you dragging? Were you crying? Were you screaming? What was going on there? How did that happen? Because I mean, I could tell you how Carnival happens, and that's like Thunderdome. You know, 30 men enter, one man leaves. But how was the Disney Cruise Line?
Well, here's something fascinating, and we talked about this the night before. They say that you have to have your luggage out with the luggage tags that they provide you out of your room in the hallway by 10:30 p.m., okay? And then, except for what you're going to carry off, if you want them to take your luggage off. And if you wanted to carry it off yourself, you were more than happy to, or welcome to, right? And I saw a lot of people doing that the next morning. But see, we thought that it was necessary and that it would save us a lot of hassle if we did that. So basically, we ended up in the morning with these carry-off bags that were like
super heavy.
And then when we went to breakfast, we noticed everybody else just had their luggage kind of sitting outside the restaurant and just chilling out waiting. Or they were already in line. There were a lot of people in line at 7:15 to get off with their luggage and just go straight out. Well, we're like, man, why do they want to do that? I mean, I'm not in a hurry to leave the ship, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought maybe they had a flight to catch, things like that. And we thought, well, there must be an easier process when we get off, you know, because we knew we had to go through customs. And we thought, well, maybe they go ahead and scan our bags and do whatever they need to do. And we just go through customs without them. And then we get the bags on the other side. So our plan was kind of, I was going to go down, go through customs, go get the shuttle back to the hotel and bring the van back while Christina corralled the luggage with her family and Jordan and Cameron, right? Well, what we found was as soon as we got off the boat. Yeah, as soon as we were off the ship, we went down an escalator, and there was everybody's luggage. You had to grab it at that point before you went through customs in the line. And so we're like, what did that actually save us? What? All it did was save us an escalator ride for our luggage.
Truly. They brought it down a few flights of stairs for you.
That was it.
Yeah, and we could have just put everything in these rolling luggage, not had anything on our back.
What a cluster.
I know. And the night before, we're so worried about it. We're like, well, what do we need for tomorrow?
Yeah.
What do we got? Well, we wouldn't have had to worry about any of that. So next time, there is no way I'm checking my luggage the night before. I'm carrying it all myself.
That a boy. Okay, so now you got your luggage. They carried it down a few flights of stairs for a lot of inconvenience for you. And you're through customs, right? And the shuttle picks you up and takes you back to the hotel, and you... What am I missing here? It sounds like it's too easy. Well, what was the hassle and hang-up on the day you leave?
There honestly wasn't, except for they're not the politest people at customs, but I guess that's not their job. And we've been used to Disney employees.
True.
And trying not to look at Jordan's face, because, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
He was crying so hard. I'm sorry I'm telling everybody about it, but... Oh, just try not to look at him.
He was so sad from leaving the boat. He was that upset.
He was so upset.
Wow,
he was. And I'm going to tell you, Disney makes things so easy. Mm-hmm. When we got there, super easy. I was terrified mm-hmm. at what the check-in process would be like. Mm-hmm. I was terrified about everything as far as that went, because there's so many people getting on this ship.
Oh, it was very
smooth. Mm-hmm. As all get out. I was so impressed. A lot of waiting, but that was just my impatience because I wanted to get on, like, now.
Well, let me give you guys credit then, both as mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, to actually have your eighth grade son tear when leaving the boat. That's a parent score. That's a parent victory, you know?
Right.
Good job.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, so you're back in town. And I want to segue, you know, obviously I'm going to get to that boat at some point in my life. I'm just not sure when it'll be. But I want to segue to the second part of the show today, because we're going to go from one extreme to the other. So I want to talk a little bit about something that there have been, you know, brief mentions on social media from you guys. And I want to explore that, because really it takes you from one step of your Disney life to really the next step of your life. So I want to offer you the opportunity to talk about this.
All right. How do you want to go about it?
how about if I just hand you the floor and let me just start off with a question, okay? We'll go with a few questions here. What's going on in your life coming up here? Let's talk about some things that are changing for the Black family.
Well, we are leaving the Magic and moving back to our hometown of Ohio.
Okay, so yeah. I've seen this, and at first I thought maybe it wasn't a trick, but I thought it was maybe not committed. This is committed. This is going to happen. You guys are leaving Florida, correct? After how long have you been there?
It will be six years. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this. What's going on? Give me your motivation, please.
Honestly, it's mainly family based.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll start there. We were just talking today how we're looking forward to weekly dinners with family. You know, just being able to have lunch with my dad, you know,
nieces and nephews,
you know, go over to dinner with mom. I know it's all food related, but it's me. What can I say? You know, it's just those little things you miss with family. Down here, uh-huh. we have a few friends, you know, and friends that Christina's met through work and a few friends that I have down here. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of support, you could say.
Okay.
So I think you need that, and I think the boys need that growing up. And the second aspect definitely is that we are losing some of the love and awe, I would say, for the Disney parks and Central Florida in general. We're losing some of that magic.
I think, explain that. Explain why you think that is.
Go ahead. I'll let you give your take on it.
Yeah, please. It's an interesting statement, because this is like the exact opposite of everyone on social media, but that's all theoretical. That's not ever been put into practice. You guys have lived it for 6 years, so it's eye-opening. I'd like to hear that viewpoint.
Well, six years ago, we were that social media. You know, we were amongst all of those people wanting to live down here. We would take a vacation 2-3 times a year, and we thought, you know, it would just be amazing to live down here. So we did take that plunge, and we are so happy that we did. But going piggybacking, you know, what Mike had said, that we're losing the magic. When you live down here, it just becomes your daily life. And not saying that that's such a bad thing, but when you vacation, you get to stay on property and eat the nice meals and try to make all those fast passes and get to see everything within the week. And you're not really bothered by the crowds or the rain or, you know, anything. So we want it to be a vacation spot again.
Mm. Yeah, and I think we had talked about this, and I had kind of been a little bitter for a little while about Walt Disney World in general, and I thought it was Disney's fault. And I don't want it to ever get that way with me. But it did. And I've only learned recently that I don't think it's Disney's fault. I just think this is where we happen to be. And I think the world is just a little more rude or a little more stressful than it was, say, 6-7 years ago. In all honesty. I mean, I'm just being honest. So it's not really Disney's fault. But that being said, we don't want that to be our viewpoint of the place that we love so much. We want it to stay a magical place. We want it to stay a place that we look forward to going. And it was fastly approaching. It was fastly approaching not being that way.
You know, I could see this. I could see it in your perspective. I'd like to think that at some point in my life, I'd retire down to Florida. And I like to think that in the next stage of my life, I'd buy a vacation property down there. And in my mind's eye, when I go to Florida, you're right. I don't mind the crowds. I don't mind the traffic. I don't mind the rain and the oppressive heat. Because that all makes a little bit of the picture of my vacation. You know, and I'm not happy about the crowds or the traffic. But it's like, okay, well, I know I'm in this special, unique spot that I only visit a couple times a year. So it's not so awful. But when your regular day-to-day is I-4, and when your regular day-to-day is 63,000 people packed in the park in one day, and you're getting video, or like that's what you've kind of surrounded your neighborhood with, I could see how that would wear on itself pretty quickly, you know? And if you're going to the park, let's just say I was you, Michael, and I was going to the park with the kids because I wanted to spend the morning. For me to go there, yeah, it requires me massive effort. It's not a quick in and out. It's a beating to get in, right? The passes are probably fairly expensive for season passes. And there's no quick, easy entrance to the park and easy exit home. It's on vacation, you don't mind because you're committed to a 12-hour or a 14-hour day. But as a local, that's tough for a 1 or 2 or 3 hour visit. I could see that, you know, in my mind, how that would wear on me eventually, and it would lose the luster of special. So I don't know if I verbalized that correctly or not, but that's at least how I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? There are so many things that we're going to miss. Yeah. I mean, it's going to, you know, it's going to take all we have. Every day we think of another thing. Oh, we're not going to get to do that. Oh, we're not, you know, and we know that. And especially with them gearing up for, you know, the big anniversary coming up at Disney World, they're going to town. I mean, we've got Toy Story Land will be opening. We've got Star, you know, all this stuff. And we've lived through the construction. So we're like, man, we should be here when it opens.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of good for being down here. And I could see to where people who have the correct support system and are down here in maybe different terms would still be loving it, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't want to dissuade anyone, if that's a word, from making the jump to come down here if they truly think that it's something that, because we've had 6 great years.
Yeah.
We just feel it's time. At this point, maybe it's time for us to go and someone else try for 6 years, because we have new mountains to scale. And
well, and also Jordan, he got to spend some of his younger life in Ohio with grandmas and grandpas around him, but Cameron has not. So we kind of feel that we've gypped him a little bit from his grandparent experiences. So we want to give that back to him.
You know, can I say something that's related and supportive of that last statement? So you guys know my father recently passed away. And during that entire experience, I was there with my brothers and my mother, and we have a very close relationship as a family. Just yesterday, we went to my nephew's Illinois High School Association playoff game as a family. And these are experiences that I wouldn't give up for anything right now, because the cousins know each other. I'm an uncle for some really great kids. My 5-year-old and their 4-year-old are like best friends. And these are experiences that like make up their childhood and their existence. And without that support structure in Florida, these are things that you don't have right now. So I completely understand that. I completely get that.
Yeah, and I completely understand. That's what we want for the boys. That's how we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up very close with our families. And we thought we were giving them something awesome. We thought we were great parents, being able to take them to Walt Disney World all the time and all stuff. But I don't think, you know, and actually I think people do understand, because there are so many Disney fans all over the country that aren't living here. They understand that they love this place,
mm-hmm.
but they need their everyday life. They need their family. You know, they may say, oh, I would hop the next plane and, you know, I'd move all my stuff, but they know they wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, it's one of those situations to where, you know, it's just our time to go, and we want to continue the channel, just to, you know, put that out there.
Yeah. Tell me about that. What is the future of Theme Park Brothers?
Well, we definitely are going to keep doing it, because it is Theme Park Brothers, which we will add, of course, amusement parks to that,
mm-hmm.
in the whole, you know, spectrum of theme parks. There's some parks in Ohio and different things. And, we actually, here coming up next week, are going to visit Hershey Park for the first time, mm-hmm. to see their Christmas display. And then we'll be going back to Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, for their Christmas town, as well. And just, we're just going to venture into new places. We might come up and see that Six Flags you got up there. And in the meantime, we're going to take all this footage, because trust me, I've got hard drive upon hard drive of video footage all across Disney World, to where we can do videos until the cows come home.
Mm-hmm.
We can do, you know, our favorite this or that, or, you know, we're just going to take it in a different direction.
Okay. Christina, can I give you a suggestion? Video footage of Michael on the most intimidating, fastest roller coasters of the theme parks in Ohio and the Midwest.
That will go viral.
Oh, that would go viral. You might not have to work ever again if you can get that footage.
Right?
Right.
I'd be like what Andy on Ellen's show when he goes through the haunted house.
Yeah. It would show you passing out halfway through. That would be worth all the money in China there. So, all right. So I know you're going to miss a lot of things. I know you're going to have hesitancy, but I know this is going to happen. What is the timetable for this to happen?
We're actually moving really soon. We're boxing up the house as of next week. Well, the week after.
Okay.
So my last day at my job is January 5th.
Okay.
But we found a place.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to secure this location, we needed to sign a lease for December.
December 1st.
So basically, we will have a place in Ohio in December. But we shouldn't be fully moved until January. And then the house, of course, go on the market January, and then we'll go from there. The transition is on now.
Yep.
Wow. So this is, not only is this going to happen, this is happening within the next 30, 45 days or so.
Yes.
So this will be a great time of joy and sadness and stress and relief all bundled together for you guys, correct?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep. And we're trying to get in the last everything we can. I mean, it's not the last, but
Disney will always be here.
Yeah.
I've been incredibly jealous of you guys, and I've been incredibly fortunate just to call you guys my friends for the last few years. But, you know, on the surface level, everyone wants to do that. Everyone wants to move down there. But you're right. You know what? Those that actually could, or those that did, are very few. You did it for 6 years. You know, I may never have that chance in my life. I may live 35 years down there. But you did it. And not only that, you raised kids. You had your youngest down in Florida. So he is by definition, he's a native Floridian. You know, there's not many people that can say that.
That is true.
Okay, so here's one of the questions I have for you then. Do you ever see yourself moving back down to Florida?
I would say probably not.
Yeah, I would say no. I would be more inclined to think we would look at a different retirement destination when the time came, and at that point, we'll probably follow our boys around wherever they are.
Yeah. So Florida, been there, done that, right?
Yep.
Interesting. Tell me about the job market really fast, because I want to make sure we get this in. The job market in Ohio compared to Florida. Not specifics, but in general. Finding a job. Christina, you were a teacher. Mm-hmm. Finding a job in Ohio. Similar, more difficult, easier?
I'm finding that it's a little bit more difficult, only because Ohio is such it's a smaller state,
mm-hmm.
so less schools. It's easier, definitely, in Florida.
Quality of education in Ohio. Better, equal to, slightly less. What is the quality of education?
Better in Ohio.
I would assume so. I know Florida is not known for their educational standards. There are a lot of really great institutions, and there's a lot of ones that struggle to meet state specifications. So I'm aware of that. How about cost of living? What's the cost of living like in Ohio compared to Florida?
I would say the same.
Okay, yeah, very, very same. Similar.
Except you don't have to have passes to everything up there.
How about coats? Do you guys have coats? Winter coats?
We were just talking about this, and everybody always gets a laugh out of this, but I'm going to have to wear pants again.
Thank goodness. Okay.
Yeah. Because I've worn shorts. I mean, it's shorts. I actually had to go. I'm going to have to go buy pants.
Yes, you have to buy pants.
Because we're going to Ohio next week. Well, not this upcoming week, the week after for Thanksgiving. I don't have any pants.
It's like 40 degrees.
So I've actually got to go to the store and buy some. And Christina went to buy the boys some yesterday.
Yep.
So we do have coats, however.
Excellent. All right, so here's my last question then. You're moving to Ohio. Where are you moving to?
This is not a secret location, like we don't.
I know.
Do you want to disclose that? I guess.
Oh no, it's fine.
Yeah.
We're actually moving back to Michael's hometown of Chillicothe.
Okay, so Michael's family's there. How far is your family from there?
About an hour.
Okay, so
I grew up in London, Ohio.
And you know, I knew the answer, and so Chillicothe is is what, about an hour and a half west, hour and a half east of Cincinnati. Is that correct?
It's northeast of Cincinnati, but it's directly south of Columbus. It's about an hour south of Columbus, which is the capital, in the center.
Okay. So, yeah, you aren't too far from here in Chicago.
No.
There'll be a road trip. There'll be a road trip meetup. And
absolutely.
A lot easier, too. So, fabulous. What were the...
Another perk of moving.
Exactly.
No one's ever said the perk is moving closer to me. I will guarantee that. Give me some words of advice. What if I'm sitting at home right now and I'm debating buying, not necessarily a vacation home, but if I'm debating moving my family down there, what would you tell me as your friend?
I mean, I'd do it. I mean, you only live once, right? Try it. We have no regrets.
Yeah. And I would never tell anybody not to do it. I think that it's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to say that it's not going to work, I mean, for so many years, we said we would never move back. We're like, no, I mean, why would we move away from this? This is awesome. We can go to the park whenever we want. So, I think you have to learn that on your own. And maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you would come down here and love it and live here the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So it's just to each their own. And I don't think there's any advice we could give other than make sure you have support.
Good advice.
And sunscreen.
Lots of sunscreen. Right. Okay. Before we wrap anything up, you got like a lot of information today, a lot of great cruise information, and then a complete change from there, and we're leaving the Magic. So if anyone has any questions, Michael, which there should be questions on this, how could they get in contact with you or Christina? Give us your social media addresses.
First of all, you can go over and to Theme Park Brothers on Facebook. And be sure to like us, and we respond rather quickly. So if you have any questions or anything, be sure to ask. And then I'm at Grumpy23, like you said, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also find Theme Park Brothers at Theme Park Boys on Twitter. And follow us over at YouTube at our channel, because that's where we will start really kind of showing our journey out of Florida, and showing, you know, some of the last minute things we're getting in, some of the things we love to do, that sort of thing.
Okay. Christina, what if they have questions for you?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at Dream Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Okay.
You're on Facebook too, but.
Okay. So you guys are aware, and this is for really for the listeners as opposed to for you, Michael and Christina. So the Theme Park Brothers and the WDW Review, you know what? We do a lot of sponsoring of each other, do a lot of advertising on each other. And I'll be honest, you know what? When we decided to do this, how long ago was this, guys? It was more than a year or so. It wasn't for, hey, can you do this for me? Hey, can you do that for me? It was because, honestly, I trust you guys. And because there is something different that you guys and I share, you know, a really close friendship. So when I say if you have any questions for Michael and Christina, they are as genuine as it gets. They'll answer your questions honestly. And you know what? They're just really good people. And I appreciate you guys coming on today and sharing that. This is not so much about fun vacation. This is like involves your real life. So I appreciate you being comfortable enough to share that with us. And I appreciate you guys, you know, frankly, sponsoring the show and trusting that I'm going to always put on a show that's going to, you know, frame your Theme Park Brothers channel in a good light as well, too. So thank you for that.
Well, we appreciate, we thank you and appreciate you, Chris and Pete, because we just fell in love with the show and more than, you know, I know it sounds sappy, but, you know, we love you guys, too, and it has been a great partnership that hopefully will continue and hopefully have great new things to come in the future.
Only if you're on thrill rides, Michael. I want to make that clear, Christina.
That could be a deal breaker.
Only if I get footage. So, all right. So this is a sincere statement for my brother, Michael, and my sister, Christina. I'd like to thank you for joining us today and have a great day.
See you, everybody.
Bye.